Thank you, Lord, as we stand in your presence, new day, beginning of a new working week for your children everywhere. And for many, Lord, the work never ceases, Lord, because they're part of your remnant on earth, Lord. They pray without ceasing, they work without ceasing, because they know they have been called, set apart for a time and a season like this. And we especially pray this morning for them, that your mighty hand would be upon them. You would strengthen their physical bodies, empower their souls, cover them, protect the hunters of the souls of men. Cover them, Lord, cover them. Be with them, Lord, everywhere, Lord. You know who they are, you know where they are. There's nothing hidden from your eyes. Uphold them with your right hand. And even as we study and then pray, prepare us, Lord. Because we are studying specifically the foretelling of that day that is getting closer and closer, the events that will accompany that day. So I pray, Lord, help us, prepare us. Commit everyone into thy hands, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, we turn to Revelation chapter 8. Yes, 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. We are now coming to the climactic scene in the book of Revelation. And now it will start the opening of the seventh seal. It begins by saying there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Okay. Now this is in stark contrast to all the sounds we have heard in the previous chapters. Okay. And why is it so stunning is because as we read, we have read, we see the number of angels, probably in billions and billions, and number of saints probably again in billions. So when you think about silence from that uncountable number, absolute silence in heaven for about half an hour. Okay, now when you're talking about half an hour, we are talking about heaven's time and earth's time. We are not sure, but it is for our understanding why this is given. But we can only imagine, I mean, we cannot really imagine the closest to where we can come. Like even if I were to stop, you hear sounds all around. What is this silence? It's a silence which from eternity when things began to eternity, time ends, there has never been silence like this before. Never been silence like this before. I can remember one time, but that's years back when I was in Nepal, when we had taken the whole team of pastors to a resort outside Kathmandu, just in the mountains, very nice, quiet place, resort. First day was great. Second day what happened was then they got the seriousness of it. So a couple of them had brought their children. So early in the morning they are dropping their children into their relative's house because they didn't want any disturbance. The second day, literally like they say in English, you could hear a pin drop. That entire, as such it was away from the city in the mountains, so it was very quiet. And the silence in the hall as the pastors and the elders were listening, you know, so, but that is nothing compared to what we are hearing, the silence. Yeah, there are two takes to this. First, they say this is the eerie kind of silence, what we say, the calm before the storm hits. Okay, or like visual picture, like the sea receding before the tsunami hits. Okay. Because the seven trumpet judgments, they are about to begin. The other take is this, which is something more beautiful, that if you see there are two scenes there. I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, but they are not blowing, okay? Then eighth angel comes there, the eighth one comes there, another one. Another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So the other thing is this, the silence. The silence is for God to hear all the prayers. Okay. So we have here, what we see is the prayers. We will come back to that, but we have the earthly pattern of the tabernacle being described, okay? And remember why God told Moses when he had to build, the pattern was given. He said, keep exactly to the pattern I give you, because the reason was that it was just a shadow of the original one in heaven. In Exodus 30 verses 1 to 6, you shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be, it's around 18 inches if I'm right, its length, and a cubit its width shall be square. Two cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece with it. You shall overlay its top and its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold, and you shall make it for a molding of gold all around. Two golden rings you shall make for it under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its two sides. There will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of, again, acacia wood, overlay them with gold. And verse 6 says, you shall put it before the veil, that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony where I will meet you. So there was this picture given about this altar. When you come to Leviticus 16, verse 12 and 13, then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest his diamond. For people it all sounds strange, but we who were born and grew up in the Orthodox Syrian church, this was practice for us, because you had that, and the smoke fills that, where the priest, with his back towards us, he will stand with his cap and all that, you know, so we had, and we burned incense in our home also every evening. I didn't know whether it was for God or to keep the mosquitoes out, I wasn't ever sure. But I'm not talking about agarbatti, the real incense with coals, we put it on it, so everybody had that brass thing in their homes, so. Here you will see, lest he die. If you come to Numbers 16 and verse 46, okay, Numbers, so this is when Aaron has to run. Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation. Make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. So it's a censer. Please don't get the confused between the altar and the censer. Okay? If you come to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Okay? And behind the second veil, That's the, you have the first veil, then the holy place behind the second veil is the, and then is the holy of holies. Behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. This is how you have to understand. You had the outer courts, you know what is there. You had the holy place where you had these three things. And the altar of incense was the closest to the mercy seat. But there was a censer. The altar and the censer, it's more like a pan kind of a thing. So the priest would take the curtain. I have feeling that the other priests who cannot go in there will draw the curtain. And the censer is always kept there. He will take the censer, put coal into it. Then he will put the incense, and then he will go in, and the incense, the smoke will cover the place, which will protect him. Okay, so that's why you see here, the censer is there in the holiest of holies. It's not the altar. It's a censer that is there, okay? And in the ark are the three things which represent, of course, God. So this censer was kept in the most holy place, very close to the ark of mercy or the covenant from where God would speak. So if you come to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Okay. So the allusion also is, the silence in heaven is for all the prayers of the saints of all the centuries. Okay. They have waited so long. Now they are going to be heard. They've been crying, how long, how long, how long, how long, how long. So the music of heaven, the worship of heaven, even the thunder of heaven is paused to show how important to God is the prayers of his saints. Okay, of his saints. In Exodus 30 and verse 8, God had instructed Moses. Moses. When Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. Okay? So in New Covenant, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, God will say pray. Many other places, but this pray without ceasing. Jesus would say men ought to always pray and never give up. Pray without ceasing. Okay. The thing is that if we don't see these pictures, we will stop praying. There is a time when God will intervene, but God will say, keep praying. Nothing that you pray in accordance to my will is lost. It's all being collected over there. It's a time that will come when God will mix it with his fire and you will see it is released. Okay. So the idea is prayer as sacrifice to God. Just like praise. Okay. The prayers of the saints are offered on the altar like all other sacrifices. They are scented with the perfume of the incense as they rise to God. So please remember, you can be a person on earth. A man may have no other sacrifice to offer to God, but he can always praise and pray. And there are always angelic hands waiting to take them to God. So nobody can say, I have nothing. The thing is that most of our energy is wasted. Our time and energy is wasted because we don't see the value of things through the eyes of God. Honestly, very few people spend time in prayer. Because they don't see value. But until revelation or apocalypse means the unveiling. Basically, we are being given a preview of what happens in heaven. Okay, what happens? So let us see 2,000 years of humanity is a church's prayer. And there is absolute silence. God says, stop the praise. Stop the worship. Stop everything. Let me hear the prayers. time has come. Okay, everything is stopped. Everything is stopped over there. We don't see that because even if a man has nothing to offer, he still has the sacrifice of prayer and the sacrifice of praise. And we saw that on the cross from Jesus, especially in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. We see two men, they had nothing to offer, but at the midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And it is written, the prisoners were listening to them, but that was not the key. God was listening. And the next thing you see is heaven intervening. Instead, on the other hand, if we gripe and complain, like if we praise and pray, there are always angelic hands ready to take it to God. If we gripe and complain, there are always demons ready to take to Satan, the imitator on the false throne. Okay? So if you go to verse 5 of chapter 8, verse 5. 8:5. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. This is the same angel, not the seven, but the eighth one. Okay? He takes the censer, fills it with fire from the altar. Okay, the coals are burning over there. He fills it and throws it on the ground. He threw it down to the earth. Okay, which causes the thunder, the lightnings, the earthquake. There are two pictures given over here. Two pictures, okay. We know in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees the vision of heaven and his response is verse 5. He says, woe unto me. I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Yes, we are. Yesterday I talked to a young boy, and I told him, use these words. First thing I will do, I'll wash your mouth with liquid soap. Second time, you again repeat, I'll wash your mouth with Harpic. Okay, please be careful. We don't use those kind of words. So here, God's solution, if you read verse 6 and 7, this is God's solution. One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal which he had taken from the tongs, with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged. So that fire, okay, can cleanse us, cleanse us. On the other side, it can also destroy. The two sides of the fire of God. In Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 6 and 7. I looked, and there in the firmament above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. He spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with the coals of fire from among the cherubim, scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. Now, the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, took some of it, put it in the hands of the man clothed with the linen, who took it, went out. Okay, now if you look at this, you will see what is this. Is of course the he's seeing the vision of the Lord's presence leaving Jerusalem. Okay, this is what I would call, you see, the kings have their capital city, they have their palace, and they have their throne where they are seated. But when the king goes out on another place, he also has a mobile throne. He doesn't sit in ordinary seats. There is a mobile throne which goes on with him. This is the mobile throne of God. There also the fire is there. Okay, this is what we seeing, the wheel within the wheel and all. We wonder, what is this and what is in Revelation? Revelation is the established throne of God. But when God moves, his throne goes with him and the cherubims go with him and the altar, meaning this altar of prayer is and worship is always before him. Wherever he goes, these are the two things that is always before him. That's what you see over here. So you will see here in Isaiah 6, fire will be taken to cleanse the mouth of a saint. And in Ezekiel 10, same fire is thrown for the destruction of the rebellious city. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is both fire that cleanses and fire that consumes. There is a human element here. The human element is this. The prayers of the saints return to earth as the wrath of God. Prayers of the saints return to earth as the wrath of God. It is not that God can't, but God will not. He will use the human element, either in mercy or in judgment. So what we see in Revelation here in this, the unveiling, okay, the old covenant, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, okay. The veil was pulled off, he took the censer, filled it with coal, went in over there, smoke filled the whole place. Now we know what it meant. He went in only once a year, he was taking all the prayers of Israel. Okay, prayers of the Israel. But in the New Covenant, we see another picture. If you look at chapter 5 and read chronologically from 6, 7 and 8, we will see how the order goes beautifully. Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know the throne room of God. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out in all the earth. Okay? Then he came, took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, look at the order. The Father is there seated on the throne. Jesus comes. He takes from his Father's hand the scroll. And when he had taken the scroll, the Bible says, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That is the order in which he goes. He will take this judgment. These are your prayers. Now your prayers are going to be answered. I will take it to the Father. He is functioning as the new covenant high priest. So you see the pictures. That is why faith is so important in the Bible, because we have to do. We don't know many things what it means. You have to just trust God and keep praying and keep praising, because things are happening in the realm that really matters. That is why God says men ought to always pray and never give up. Never give up, because you do not know. When we give up, what happens is, one of the scariest parts about God and time is that if we don't do what we are called to do, God is willing to wait for another generation. He's got no issues with that. If the first generation won't take the land, he says, see, wait, wander around, die, I'll take the next generation in. If we don't do our work in our generation, God is willing to wait. For him, this time doesn't matter. It only matters to us. It doesn't matter to him. He's seen the end from the beginning. He will skip one generation and pick another generation. Another generation will be ready. So one generation will wander for 40 years and just die. And God, as a father, will take care of them, but cannot use them. Another generation will rise and they will go in and possess. Okay, so that is where we have to understand and take all these things by faith. Because if you do not, then things will not happen. Then, go back to Revelation, yeah. 8. You open. I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Okay. Now these are seven angels who stand before God. Okay, these are not ordinary angels. These are very special angels. In the apocryphal book, in the Catholic apocryphal book called Tobit, we don't have to go over there. The names of the seven angels are given, but we shall not add Apocrypha to Apocalypse. Okay. And leave the identity of these angels to God. We know the identity of two angels, which is one is Gabriel and one is called Michael. Okay? So, these are not ordinary angels. These are angels who stand in God's presence. Okay? It means they enjoyed very special honor. Please understand, even on earth, everyone do not have the honor of being always in the king's presence. because that gives you access. That is what Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is. So you always see, Nehemiah had access to the king, which Esther did not have. Esther had to be called. But Nehemiah was always there in the king's presence, and he always had to be happy, even if he was unhappy, because in the king's presence, okay, that's why we are told to praise God always. In the king's presence, you don't go around with gloomy faces, unless it is the burden which God has put on you. You had always, because, no, so one day he was looked a little different, the king asked him what's, and he panicked. But that, because if he had not had that access to the king, you would not have the book of Jeremiah. Sorry, Nehemiah. All those things wouldn't have happened. So these are not ordinary angels. These are special angels. Okay, very, very special angels who stand in the presence of God. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 19. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. He puts across his title. He says, I'm one of those who stand in the presence of God. And because he did not believe the angel who stands in the presence of God, in verse 20, he will say, yeah, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Meaning, he says, I'm not passing to you information that has been passed through different angels down. All angels don't have that access. One says, but unlike us, they listen carefully, so when the message is passed, the correct message reaches here, it doesn't, because you add or subtract. But he says, in this case, he says, I am somebody who stands right there in the presence of God. I'm giving you something that is first hand, and because you did not. So these angels who stand in the presence of God have tremendous authority. It's not like the others. They have tremendous authority has been given to them. So they call the angel of the, actually that term, the angel of the Lord's presence, is used only once in the Bible, in Isaiah 63 and verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of the Lord. Here, see, we use this term as theophany. Okay, theophany is where we talk about Jesus being called the angel of the Lord. Okay, now Jesus being the angel of the Lord, and the angels who stand in his presence are not the same. So we have to be very careful when we read scripture who is who. And we are sometimes not sure. When you go to Exodus 23:20, because the Bible is full of angels, and they are God's servants. 23:20-23. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. Okay, my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land. Again, I will cut them off. So we have to understand, my name is in him. Who is this angel? Okay. That's why Zechariah was struck dumb for over 9 months. Okay. And when you use the term the angel of the Lord, you will see it's the angel of the Lord that speaks to Hagar, then to Abraham. It's interesting. He speaks to Hagar first, then to Abraham, then to Jacob, then to Moses, then to Joshua, to Samson. You have it. Okay? So we have to understand it is always not the same. And there's a distinction made, if I'm right, in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 11 onwards. Let us see 11. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, How long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comfort. So you will see two people there. The Lord of the hosts is Jehovah Shabbat, is Jesus. And you see the angel of the Lord is given there with a capital A. Okay, so it's not a small A. So you will see the difference over here. It's one of the few places in the Bible where you will see this difference. Okay, because all angels are not the same. They are different. There are cherubim, there are seraphim, there are archangels, and there are the seven angels who stand in the presence of the Lord. So this is important because they are very special angels, very powerful angels sent on specific assignments. So it is Gabriel who will come to John's father, Zechariah. It's Gabriel who will come to Mary. Okay, and Gabriel will come to Daniel too. Three, his names are mentioned, okay. It is also on earth you will see both Elijah and Elisha spoke in those same terms. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 and then 18, 15. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand." That's where his authority comes from. Why he speaks is like God speaking through him. And he says, "It will not rain. It will not rain." Again he will say, a years later, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." Okay. You will see Elisha also does the same thing. 2 Kings chapter 3, 14 and 5, 16. Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand." And he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive." Okay, so this also means the Lord of God of Israel, whose servant I am. But more than that, we know James chapter 5 and verse 17. 5:17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly it would not rain. But the key is that we have to understand both prayer and praise are vehicles that carry us to the very presence of God, from where we hear, and then when we speak with the authority of God. In Psalm 22 verse 3, Psalm 22 verse 3, the Bible says, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Okay, so we need to understand why this is important, because when you're using the term who stand in the presence of God, we will see there are angels, not all angels, though all angels are in the presence of God because God is omnipresent and everybody is in the presence of God. Yet these seven angels who are in the presence of God is different. Okay, so all of us are in the presence of God and all his servants are in the presence of God, but Elijah and Elisha are a different type altogether. They are actually in the presence of God in their prayer closet. So when they come from there and they speak, things happen. Things happen. So God is telling us. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, okay, post-atonement, okay, the call of God is there. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Okay, so it's an encouragement to people to continue praising, continuously praise, to give thanks. You enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and then you reach the throne, you pray. That is the order. It's an encouragement for people to continuously, don't look at your earthly situations, don't look at the delay. Need to know we have access to God's presence through his blood. What was available only to the high priest once a year has been made possible through Christ to everybody. We don't use it. But God says if you use it, at least you will have rest. Because you will know that you have come into my presence. You have rest and I will answer. Okay. The timeline they say is when the seventh seal is broken and the seven trumpets begin is like around 21st month of the tribulation period, because it's 42 months. The pre-trib rapture crowd will say when the seventh seal is broken is at the 21st month, the middle of it. Okay, the middle of it. That's when this will happen. Then when you come back, yes, if you come back to verse, okay, verse 2. Seven angels, okay, they were standing, okay. Remember, they were just standing there in the presence of God. They were not carrying trumpets, but they were given seven trumpets, okay. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, trumpets were always symbols of God's interventions in time. That is human history. Okay, starting with the giving of the law in Exodus 19, verse 16 and 19. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet were very loud, so all the people who were in the camp trembled. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Okay, please remember, this is the most important day in Israel's and human, one of the, in Israel's history, and the most, one of the most important days in human history, because the law is coming down. Okay, the law is coming down. We are going to have the testament. Okay, the will was there. It is going to be codified. It's going to be written. It's coming down. And when that happens, you need to realize you have this trumpet blast. Okay, so trumpets become a part of Israel's history, and also prophetically with the day of the Lord. Okay, in Isaiah 20, please understand, this trumpet here on earth, when it is blown, is a physical sound, but when it is blown in heaven, it is spiritual. In Isaiah 27 verse 13, it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Israel. This is the coming back of the exiles. And I do believe these trumpets are being blown. Of course, we don't hear it with a physical. And you will see the Jews going back to their homeland, because something is happening in their spirit. Okay, something is happening in their spirit right now. You know, Israel is right back. It's always, it's in the center of God's history after 1948. But right now, you see the diabolic plan of the current U.S. government to declare the Palestinian state. Two-state formula, they're coming, pushing. And yesterday, the whole Israeli cabinet went against the U.S. government and said, we will not allow it. Because that is rewarding the terrorists, because that terrorists for what they did. So there is this agenda, because God is the one who said, don't divide the land. And there are powers that are trying to divide the land. So we need to realize, when we are talking about trumpets being blown in heaven, you see its effects on earth. You don't hear the sound. Physical sound you don't hear. Because when the day of the Lord comes, you will see, if you go to Joel chapter 2, 1. Zephaniah 1:16, Zechariah 9:14. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Zephaniah 1:16. A day of trumpet, an alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Zechariah 9:14. Okay. The Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with the whirlwinds from the south. Okay. So it is blown in heaven, but the effect on earth is spiritual. Okay. The new covenant also Jesus talks. Okay. Jesus talks in Matthew 24:31. He makes the trumpet very clear. Okay. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 and 53, Apostle Paul, through the Spirit, will say this. Chapter 15, 52 and 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, again the trumpet is brought with the last days. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. That is when the seventh trumpet is blown. This is what it is here. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord. Okay, so we have to get this, because if you are looking for a physical sound, we may be fooled. Okay, that's why in the new covenant, God's people are asked to walk in the Spirit. Okay, the trumpet blast did three things. One, it was always a sound and an alarm. And God is always sounding warnings. Okay, we will see when that, like honestly, when there is a trumpet blown in heaven, when we read the book of Revelation, you will see earthquakes and shakings and all these things. And we see these things happening on earth, the effect of things that is happening, which is warning God's people. The others will scoff, us will scoff, let them scoff, but God's people are being warned. Okay. It was also when a trumpet was sounded, it was also sounding the arrival of royalty. And the third thing, it is a summoning to battle. Okay, in the old covenant, it was a summoning to battle. You need to understand, God is always summoning the church to battle against evil. Let's go to this. Joel chapter 2, verse 15 to 18. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then... Okay, then, but please remember, it all begins with the trumpet call. This is the final call of God for the church to gather in battle in their prayer closets. And he says, nobody is spared. Let the babies come. Let the children come. Forget your marriage day, everything. Bride could come out, because there's no time for anything now. The seriousness of what is actually, once we start what is happening, the seven trumpets, we will realize why God said, unless those days were shortened, even the elect will not survive. And that's coming. It's getting closer and closer and closer. So God will tell us, stop wasting time, get into your closet, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And unless we see this, what we call it, we see this happening. So if you look at it, if you go back to Revelation 8, and we will close with that, verse 1 to 5, we will see that same order. He opened the seventh seal. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I saw the seven angels who stand before God. To them were given seven trumpets. And the next thing you see is, another angel having a golden censer came, stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So you have prayer, and then the Bible says, okay, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascend before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and what you call judgment. All these things are happening. Now, we need to understand, this is what we need to understand, okay? These are the prayers of the saints that have been kept in heaven, waiting this very, very day. Okay. The perspective from earth and the perspective from heaven is not the same. But the action is, the result is the same. Go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 and then verse 3 and verse 7. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. And he gives a parable. Okay. Now there was a widow in that city and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. What's she asking for?
Justice.
What is God doing in verse 7? Shall not God avenge? Okay. So the prayers are basically crying out for justice. Lord, how long? Lord, justice. The cry of the church is for justice. The answer of God is vengeance. These are two different perspectives. Absolutely two different perspectives. Okay? The cry. So therefore, God says, always pray. Never give up. Okay? Never give up. Lord, how long? That is, look at evil rising and evil men and dispensations crushing your people over there. Lord, do you see what they are doing? Lord, intervene, intervene. They're actually asking for justice because you are a righteous God. Your righteousness is being affected. So we are crying out for justice. But you will realize what happens on where God's response is vengeance. So that is what you see, verse 5 of Revelation 8, verse 5. 8:5. Not 5:8, 8:5. Okay. When the angel took the censer. Okay. Censer. So if you look, what is there? It's a prayers of the saints. Okay. It's a prayers of the saints. What are these prayers? It's a cry for justice. What does he do? He fills it with fire with the altar. And he throws it down to earth. And the prayers of God's saints come down as the vengeance of God. God says the time has come. Okay. Has comes down as the vengeance of God. So there is this widow. A widow is a picture of a church. Because they look at the church and says, who is there to help you? There's nobody to help you. No dispensation, no state, no police. Everybody is against you. She looks like a widow. She looks like a widow. Okay, a widow is a person the most helpless in the society. Okay, looks helpless. The church is mocked, scorned, scoffed, no power. But she doesn't know that she has a husband in heaven. Okay, so the widow is told, pray, never give up. Pray, never give up. Pray, never give up. When the time of God comes, this eighth angel, not the seven ones, this eighth angel, that angel will take the censer. And if you look at the censer, it is very near to the throne of God. Okay, and he will take the fire and then he will throw it down. And the cry of the church for righteousness, for justice, comes down to earth as the vengeance of God. Therefore, the word is, men ought to always pray and not lose heart. And in the new covenant, we've been given the incredible gift of praying in an unknown language, because we can truly, truly, when we do not understand what is happening, we can pray according to the will of God without understanding. A man who prays in tongues speaks to God, absolutely speaks to God. Otherwise, because in the old covenant, they were only told to see that this is a perpetual incense, the fire should not go, it's all outward. It's very easy to do. Okay. So you have three sets of priests, four sets of priests. They will do these turns to keep the fire. But these priests are not praying. Okay. New covenant is completely different. There is no fire. There is no incense. There is no altar. Nothing. Instead, we are asked to give the continuously the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise, and the sacrifice of prayer. Continuously. And if you know, 24/7, it's going from the church around the world. Every time zone it is going on, and people do not realize things that are happening is simply because of the prayers of the saints. Because it's not that God will not, okay, cannot, but he will not, because that is his nature. And there is Jesus there, God, man, God, forever making intercession for these saints. So we will pray. We will not quit. We will not give up. People will say, why pray? We will tell you, read the book of Revelation, then you will know why pray. When the curtain is pulled back, you will see what? Nothing of anything that is happening on planet earth by any of the governments will go above the rooftop to heaven. Only thing that goes up are the prayers of the saints. Nothing else is going there. The praise and the prayers go up. That is the one that is going up. So that should give the church encouragement, especially, you know, keep praying in tongues. So keep praying with understanding. If you don't have it, pray with understanding. It's very simple. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, let us have Peter, our young man.
Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
The great Indian saint, no, Sadhu Sundar Singh, Christian saint, okay, not the sadhu. He was once asked by a simple lady, like, what difference does my prayer make? What difference does my prayer make? How does it change anything? And his answer was very interesting. Okay? He said, do you see the ocean? Do you know the nature of that water? He says, but that's the water that goes up, but when it comes down, there is no salt in it. Wow. What goes up, what comes down is not the same. So he says, our job is to pray. But when it comes down has God's blessings. It's not what goes up, it doesn't come back the same way. It says, so our job is to keep praying and leave it to God. Okay, leave it to God, because otherwise we will look at and say, what difference does it make somewhere in Hyderabad, in this, what is the south end of the town, three people gather, they have been praying for years together, what is happening? But God said, men ought to always pray and not lose heart. We will not lose heart, we will not give up, and we see things happening. We see things happening and we pray. For the church, we pray for people we know is standing up for the church, okay, who are pivotal in our generation, our time, our history, because history ultimately we will realize was shaped on earth by the church. It was not shaped by men and women in the world, in powers of corridors of power. It was shaped by people who prayed. That's why the Bible says Elijah was a man of same nature as us. He prayed. And history changed. Nobody could do anything. Nobody could do anything. Everything was locked up. Heaven was locked up. One man. Just one man. That's why God always says, I look for one man, one person who will stand in the gap and pray. So this Monday morning, we saw yesterday about the kingdom, how the kingdom functions, the laws of the kingdom. And we activate the laws of the kingdom. One of the way we activate the laws of the kingdom is by prayer. It's a new covenant kingdom law. Men ought to always pray. Because a time is coming when we will not need to pray. And then when we stand before God, we'll be so ashamed that we did not pray. We did not pray. So God says, pray. That's something, like I said, no man can say, I have nothing to give. Because you can always pray. You can always pray. You can always praise. You can always thank God with understanding. If you have the gift, with that too. But with understanding, you can pray. So this morning, we will pray. We will pray for Ace. We will pray for all Ace. I'm hats off to him. That man, my gosh, he's got a backbone. I mean, he's been fined almost $500 million. And the next thing you go, he's already spoken in two conventions back to back. I wish we had his strength at 77. Boy, oh boy. That is a tough cookie. No wonder they hate him. Hell hates him. But heaven loves him.
Amen.
There were two clips that came from yesterday's, in day for yesterday's meeting. One was a woman crying. And he called her up and she said, "We love you, President Trump. We love you, President Trump. It was very powerful." And then somebody else was in the audience and she was thanking him. She said, "You don't remember me, but you intervened in my life in the year 2005. That was before anybody really knew him in the rest of the world, because he always was a kind person. He had a rough side to that, but the other side of it, I always believe that is his mother's side. The influence of his mother, you know. So you need this both in these last days. We need men who are very tough and very kind. Both sides, because that is how God is, the severity of God and the goodness of God, the two sides. We need leaders who will be both sides. You cannot have soft people, because you will not survive, because we are literally fighting personification of evil in our days. Literally evil men who will go to any length to hold on to power. So we have to fight it in our prayer closet. So we will keep fighting. We will keep praying. We will not give up. Because if you can't do anything, even if you're bedridden, you can still pray. You can still pray. And that's the most powerful thing man can do on earth. So we will pray. Father, this morning we come to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, even as we have heard all around the world in our churches, once again the spirit of prayer and supplication will fall, Father. Will keep praying, Father. Yes, we will keep praying that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We will keep praying. We will not give up. We will not quit. To the last breath of our lives, we will keep interceding. We will stand in the gap. We will call upon the name of the Lord, because our God is a God who is alive. He is in control and he hears prayers, oh Lord. But Lord, I pray, let no one give up, Lord. Let no one quit before their time. Let no one go, because there is a purpose bigger than us, bigger than the church, bigger than the world, bigger than anything we have ever known or seen, called the kingdom of God. Very soon, as an answer to the prayers of your saints for 2,000 years, it is written, when the seventh trumpet is blown, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, thank you, Lord. Because the prayer of the weakest saint has power in heaven, Lord. They're all collected and kept.
Thank you, Lord.
When the appointed time comes, God will release it.
Thank you, Lord.
It will come as justice for your people, but vengeance on the rebels, O Lord, O Father. Because there is no meaning of mercy if there is no justice, O Lord, O Father. So we just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. And our job is to lift up the hands of those who are out on the field, Lord. Out on the battlefront, Lord. They don't have the time, or they do not have the training to do this. But those of us who have been called to stand in the gap, through the word, through prayer, we will strengthen their arms, O Lord. Moses did not have to go out into the middle and take the sword and fight the Amalekites. There was a Joshua and young people to do it. But Moses had to do what he had to do. And the entire victory was dependent upon what Moses was doing, O Lord. It is written, when his hands came down, Amalek won. But when his hands went up, Israel one, Father. I pray in this hour, the hands of the church, the ones who have been called to pray and to intercede, their hands will not come down, O Father. It will not come down, O Father. And many will arise, O Lord, to hold their hands up, O Father, because they are under attack 24/7, O Lord. O Father, even Elijah quit, Father, and he only wanted to die, O Master. So you gave him a young man to hold up his hands up, O Lord. Lord. Oh Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you because we see these patterns in your history with man on earth, Lord, that you always looked for people who would pray and people who would proclaim your word, oh Lord, because they work together, oh Master. Thank you, Lord. But when your son came on earth, there was no one there to uphold him in prayer. So he spent all his time in prayer and he proclaimed the word alone, oh Master. Even in his last hour, there was nobody to pray for him, Lord. He said, Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, oh Father. And I pray in this last hour of the church of humanity, Lord, you will raise up countless people around the world who will be truly be able to see what is happening, Lord. That this is beyond them and their families and their household. This is about your kingdom, Lord. And they will be willing to lay down their lives for the King, O Master. You are asking and looking for sold out people totally committed to the King, O Master. And only they can overcome. For it is written, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death, O Lord. Touch Father today. Touch Ace Father. Touch him, Lord. Strengthen his arms, O Lord. Oh, we bind that spirit of blinding over that land, oh Father. So many millions are not able to see what is happening right before their eyes, oh Lord. The spirit of witchcraft over that land, oh Lord, being destroyed deliberately before their own eyes, they are not able to see, Lord. That they are called to, they are being caused to hate the man who has been sent to help them, oh Lord. And I pray you will open their eyes, oh Master. Open their eyes, oh Father. Open their eyes. We lift him into your presence. We pray you strengthen him. We pray he will have favor in the courts, oh Lord. It doesn't matter how many lower courts turn around against him. We pray he will always have favor in the highest court because the heart of the justices are also in your hand, oh Father. So we pray for favor, Lord. For Brad, for Cherian, Lord. For Abdul and Hamid, oh Lord. Penny, Uncle Marshall, Lynn, Lord. All the saints out there in the battle, friend. Oh Lord, touch them. Judge Sharon, Elizabeth, Lord. Reverend Love, Auntie Julia, Father. Commit them old, Father. Their age is irrelevant. The state of health is irrelevant, Lord. All they have to do is intercede, oh Lord. And heaven will move on our behalf, Lord. Let the spirit of prayer and supplication rest upon them. Let your power come upon them. Let there be healing virtue released in those who are sick, Lord. Oh Father, I rebuke that spirit of arthritis in the name of Jesus. It is generational, Father. But those ancient altars, we break it down in the name of Jesus. Let it be burned with fire and let there be a release in the limbs of your people, oh Father. Let them be set free, Father. A spirit of anger that hovers generations, oh Lord. We bind it in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. And in return, we speak peace and rest into their souls, oh Lord, that things will come down, oh Father. There will be healing released in the bodies, oh Father. Touch, Lord. The siege will break. God will come through for his people. And we will be debt free, Lord. Your people around the world, Lord, will be free, Lord. Because what is due to your people will be released. There will be a command from heaven. And every chain will be broken. Every iron gate will be flung open. Oh, Father, and we will see open heavens, oh Lord. We believe. Therefore, we will stand because it is the command of our King to us. Men ought to always pray and never lose heart. We will not lose heart, but like your servant David, we will encourage ourselves in the Lord because our God does not change. He is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man he should repent. What he has said, he will do. He is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, he is faithful. For your faithfulness endures forever and ever and ever, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You said when you pray, believe that you have received. We believe heaven has heard. We believe heaven has answered. We believe in time we will see it, because God makes all things beautiful in His time, oh God. We just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. And once again, we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.